Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. Today I'm talking to Giles Burgle, who is speaking as part of Folk Weekend. The topic he is speaking on as part of a lunchtime lecture is the history and culture of the Broadside Ballads at the Blue Room at St Aldate's Tavern. This is happening on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. and tickets are £10. Hello, Giles.
Hello, Casey.
So what is a Broadside Ballad?
A broadside ballad is a piece of paper printed on one side, and the fact that it's printed on one side is important because that means it can be stuck up on the wall like a poster, and it contains one or more ballads, always in the form of a song lyric. Sometimes they have the name of the tune to which the ballad can be sung on them, and they very often have illustrations, quite simple illustrations made with woodblocks, and they're produced in vast quantities in this country in particular. They're common to some other countries as well, but they seem to be particularly an English language specialism. They were sold on the streets by travelling ballad sellers, streets and fairs, who might be singing or crying the first line of a ballad. You could buy them very cheaply for a penny or a halfpenny. And they were then taken home to be enjoyed in multiple ways. Read, sung out loud, stuck up on the wall, particularly if they were decorated. And now survive in only a very small number, particularly the earliest ones. They're around from really the beginning of printing, so the kind of late 15th century, through to the late 19th century. But I mean, they're still sometimes produced today in rather small numbers as special items. But their heyday was really from the late 16th through to the mid 19th century.
Okay. So you've already sort of touched upon what sort of information would feature. Would the intention of the ballad be political, or would there be any sort of motive behind the words?
Sometimes political, particularly during moments of crisis. So we have large numbers of ballads about the English Civil Wars in the mid-17th century, about the wars with France in the late 18th and early 19th century. But really, they can cover any topic. The news, certainly. Crime is a very popular theme. All the great themes of folk music are represented on the Broadside Ballad, and indeed they're important in the broader history of folk music. So we have romance, songs of unrequited love, songs of jealousy, comic songs, ribald songs. Sometimes they're quite bawdy. There are also rather more kind of specialised broadside ballads that might relate to very local events, very local political events that might be aimed at insiders in London, or insiders had access to London politics. Okay. They might rather like Private Eye as opposed to sort of tabloid kind of model. Elections, really everything.
Brilliant. And you mentioned that there would sometimes be a tune to sing. How would the people know the tune?
That's an excellent question, and it's not really clear. Certainly, we can assume that since they say something like sung to the tune of Our King is Welcome Out of Spain, which is an early 17th century ballad tune for a ballad called The Wandering Jew's Chronicle, which I have a rather strong interest in, we can assume that that tune was known, because they just give the name of the tune as if it is known. Very occasionally there's a bit of musical score on a ballad. Sometimes, though, that score is purely decorative. It's musical nonsense. It's just meant to indicate this is a song.
I see.
Other tunes, that we know now, we know through things like dancing manuals, things like William Playford's English Dancing Master of the 17th century. Mm. Or there are tunes that are associated with ballad opera, things like the Beggar's Opera, which of the 18th century, which includes ballad tunes, shows. A great many ballads are in a kind of a common ballad meter, as I'm not a musicologist, but my colleagues who are tell me that many ballads are quite readily adaptable to a small stock of tunes, many of which were compiled for us now. The great authority for the tunes of broadside ballads is a book called The British Broadside Ballad and Its Music by Claude Simpson, who's recovered most of what we now know about tunes.
I see. So what would you call the people who would go around with the ballads? Do they have a particular name?
I call them ballad sellers. Some people call them ballad singers, and that's usually accurate, but they aren't always singing them. Sometimes they're just crying them, saying, a new ballad on, and they'll give the name of something newsy that they're singing about. Mm. There are also a sort of category of ballad sellers known as pinners up, and they would occupy public places, market squares and so forth, and their ballads would be pinned up on a wall or a screen behind them.
These people would go around selling these ballads, and then anyone could buy them.
Yes, that's right. The cheapest forms of printed objects you could buy at the time. Paper was very expensive before about 150 years ago. So these really are the cheapest kind of printed media you could obtain.
Yeah. And were they very popular then?
Hard to say. Certainly some seem to have been popular. We don't have figures for how many people could read it before the 19th century. We don't generally have figures for how many of these are produced, except for very occasionally, again, in the 19th century. But judging by the fact that we sometimes see the same ballad titles printed over and over and over again, so ballads of Robin Hood, for example, are very popular. Some of the famous ballads of the English folk canon you see in broadsides. And I think it's reasonable to assume that if ballad printers are printing the same ballad over and over again, they know their market, it must have been somewhat popular.
Yeah, brilliant. So we're very fortunate in Oxford to have the wonderful Bodleian Library. The Bodleian have, with your assistance, created a archive called the Bodleian Ballads Online. Can anyone access these ballads?
Yes, they can. You can access them in two ways. You can access them in person. You can go along to the Western Library and get a reader's ticket. Anyone can get a reader's ticket and look up the ballads. But probably the easiest thing to do, and you can do this before going to see the ballads, but in any case, that almost all of them, the vast majority of them, are available online in digital form through a project that goes back to around about 2000, and originally initiated by Mike Heaney, who's also speaking at the Folk Weekend on Morris. Mike and my colleague Alex Franken of the Bodleian initiated the project. We rebuilt it a few years ago with the help of some public money and with a lot of other people, including Mike Bennett, who worked then for the Bodleian and a local folk musician. He was the developer for Bodleian Ballads Online. And there you can see images and brief descriptions, subject headings and things of that nature, of some 30,000 ballads, really by far the largest collection outside the British Library in this country. And that spans from right across the ballad period, from the beginnings till, well, actually, there are one or two 20th century and 21st century even ballads in the collections that we printed specially for the project.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. Why did ballads die out?
Yes. It's not really clear why. Or I suppose if you were being quite argumentative, you might say it's not even clear that they exactly did. Like I say, there are one or two modern survivals normally done by craft printers for special occasions. I'm not sure if they were true to say they died out so much as they changed into other forms. You know, through the 19th century, you start seeing other forms of cheap prints. Newspapers become mass publications for the first time. Newspapers previously existed, but as I was saying previously, paper is very expensive up until mid-late 19th century. You see larger publications containing ballads. So so-called songsters are a very important medium for transmitting ballads. And also then, of course, towards the end of the 19th and early 20th century, you have sound recording.
Are there any recordings of these ballads from, well, I guess from the 16th century and onwards, being performed?
Yes, you don't have to, not on our site, unfortunately. We do have some MIDI files from the previous site. But if you were to go to another ballads website that I work for, a thing called EBBA, the English Broadside Ballad Archive at the University of California, Santa Barbara, they are aiming to put a recording up of as many ballads as they can find a tune for. There's also a project which I think will be going up shortly called Hit Songs of the 17th Century, which aims to put up the top 100 songs of the 17th century, and they're doing recordings as well.
How do they rank them?
Ah, that's an interesting question. I'm not entirely sure, but some of the things I've been talking about, like seeing how many editions a ballad went through, are one of their criteria. But I think in some ways they're going as much for ones that they like as well as ones that it can prove as popular, and that seems to me fair enough.
Yeah. Are there any ballad tunes remaining in circulation today?
Yes, there certainly are. And again, I'd refer curious listeners to Claude Simpson's work. There's also a great scholar, local scholar of ballads, Alfred Williams, who wrote a collection called Folk Songs of the Upper Thames, which he collected from the, not far from Oxford, in the early 20th century. And he certainly found broadside ballad tunes in circulation. I won't Kenny out because I'm not entirely sure in the area of tunes, but you can certainly find ballad tunes in circulation and ballad texts sung to new tunes. People attending Folk Weekend will be well aware, of course, of the work of Bellahead, John Spires appearing at Folk Weekend. They have recorded ballads in the Bodleian and list them on their liner notes of their CDs.
That's so cool. And what in particular are you looking forward to attending as part of Folk Weekend?
Ah, well, I'm particularly looking forward to hearing Mike Heaney talking about Morris. I do think it's great that the Folk Weekend, under James Bell's direction, is including lectures for the first time. I'm also hoping to see John Spires and to just to kind of mill around and take in whatever is going on.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Giles. Thank you so much for speaking to me.
You're welcome.
You can hear Giles speaking on the history and culture of the Broadside Ballad at the Blue Room at the St Aldate's Tavern on Saturday at 12:30. Tickets are £10, so book up.